Our scripture reading is from the book of Acts, and Paul says, "What matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job that the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredibly extravagant generosity of God. Now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. I've never, as you so well know, had any taste for wealth or fashion. With these bare hands, I took care of my own basic needs and those who worked with me. In everything I've done, I've demonstrated to you how necessary it is to work on behalf of the weak and not exploit them. You'll not likely go wrong here if you keep remembering that our Master, that Jesus said, you are far happier giving than getting." Now, once upon a time, there was a king who ruled over everything in the land. And one day there was a gardener who grew an enormous carrot. And he took it to the king and said, "My lord, this is the greatest carrot I've ever grown or ever will grow. And therefore, I want to present it to you as a token of my love and respect for you." And the king was touched, and he discerned the man's heart. And so, as he turned to go, the king said, "Wait, you are a good steward of the earth, and I want to give you a plot of land so you can garden it all, and I give it to you freely as a gift." And the gardener was amazed and delighted, and he went home rejoicing. But there was a nobleman at the king's court who overheard all this, and he said, "If that is what you get for a carrot, what if I gave this king something better?" And so the next day, the nobleman came before the king, and he was leading a handsome black stallion, and he bowed low and he said, "My lord, I breed horses, and this is the greatest horse I've ever bred or ever will, and therefore I want to present it to you as a token of my love and respect for you." But the king discerned his heart, and he said, "Thank you," and took the horse and simply dismissed him. And the nobleman obviously was perplexed, and so the king said, "Let me explain. The gardener was giving me the carrot, but you were giving yourself the horse." The story captured my imagination about a life of generosity, of a generous heart. The word generous is defined as giving or sharing easily, willing to help or being unselfish. But it is more than just giving. It is a way of life, and it is a principle woven throughout scriptures. Jesus teaches his followers several times about a life of generosity, and he invites us on a journey. And it is a journey, sometimes a lifelong journey, from receiving to giving. Living generously is a way of life focused on others, not just myself. And it's not a one-size-fits-all concept. It's not limited to only the rich, the talented, the beautiful, or the lucky. No, it is a journey for all of us to go on so that our hearts can undergo a transformation from what can I get to what can I give. And you see, this is a hard thing for us. It's a hard thing to believe that it is better to give than to get. That it's not better to hold on to what is mine. But this is Jesus' way of life. It is the way of life. It is the way of generosity. And Jesus says, it is better, you'll be happier, it is more blessed to live this way. You think you're going to be happy by getting in life. That's an illusion. It's better to give. And when you do, you will experience how it brings harmony to your life. It brings integration. It brings a blessedness. It brings happiness. Your heart changes and you start to live in a different way. And that way, through that way, unity comes, not only in yourself, but with Jesus and with the Spirit, with God Himself, who is a generous God. And then we step into true, real, and eternal life. And in today's scripture, Paul has experienced something of this way of life. He has tasted it. He says that the most important thing is that I want to give my life for this thing, that God is a generous God. He wants to be generous in his life and ministry and life work because he has experienced and tasted something of the generosity of God. And so today, three invitations on this journey, on this life of generosity. And the first is to trust that God is our source. Paul has experienced God's generosity. He gives his life to proclaim about this extravagant generosity. And now he says, now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. He gives you everything you could possibly need. God is a giver. Generosity is part of his character. And throughout the scriptures, through Jesus' life, we see that it is at the essence of his being. It is at the essence of God's heart. He creates and he creates in abundance. He blesses and he blesses in abundance. He forgives and he forgives abundantly. And Jesus comes and he shows us something of this essence, this heart of God, by telling us these parables and stories to give us an idea, a feel, images of this God that is our source. He says in the parable of the sower who is God, is not a calculating person who carefully sows his grain only in worthy soil. No, this sower, God, scatters seed everywhere, on the road, in the woods, in rocks, in barren soil, and in good soil. And he has, it seems, unlimited seeds and therefore operates from a generous attitude rather than an attitude of scarcity. He just wants to share what he has. We see in the parable of the vineyard owner where the owner, God, gives a full day's of wages to everyone, whether he or she worked the full day or not. Because God, we are told, has unlimited wealth and he's not stingy in giving it away. We learn of his generosity and forgiveness in the parable of the father forgiving the prodigal son. Just God's generous, forgiving heart when we come back and return again and again and again. And we see the same way in Jesus himself. Jesus' whole life speaks of generosity. His first miracle in Cana was a miracle of abundance and generosity at a wedding. His miracle when feeding people, he doesn't just give enough, he gives more than enough. There's a surplus. He's generous in his time with others, with people who look different, believe different, think differently than him. He's generous in his wisdom and teaching. He shares this life with the Father so abundantly and generously. And wherever he goes, he's generous in being present, in paying attention, in comforting, in healing, listening, offering sympathy, in everything. He lives a generous life. He's generous in the way he gives his life, gives up his life. generous in forgiveness, in service when he washes his disciples' feet, lays down his life and lordship, generous in prayer and time with his Father. He cannot help but be and live a generous life. And for us to become generous, for our hearts to be transformed and our lives to be transformed into generous lives, we must first trust in God's abundance and generosity. Paul says, pay attention to the living God who gives us everything richly. So what he's saying is, look at God, follow him. Everything you have, he has given to you. Now you give as he gives. You cultivate a way of life. And the invitation here is to become a certain kind of person, because giving touches every part of our life. It's not just our finances. It is our time. It is our energy. It is our capacity, our gifts, our resources. But when we step into the world of giving, we step into the world of a God who is generous. And I open my life to him to experience in a very deep way what the blessing and the joy and the freedom is that comes from living like him. Paul continues in the scripture and he says, I've never, as you well know, had any taste for wealth or fashion. With my bare hands, I took care of my own basic needs and those who worked with me. And in everything I've done, I've demonstrated to you how necessary it is to work, not on our behalf. He says on behalf of the weak, and to not exploit them. You'll not go wrong if you keep remembering what Jesus the Master said. You are far happier. You're more blessed. It is better giving than getting. And so he says, yes, God is our source. God takes care of us. God is extravagant, but we have a share in our work and in our provision for our needs. Our work is one of the ways that God provides to us. And there are many of us who have other dreams all the time, more along the lines of, I'll be taken care of when it comes suddenly or easily without hard work, when this big thing will come my way. And yes, God can do that. But one of the primary ways he takes care of us is through our work. But it doesn't stop with us. We don't just work so that we will be provided for. We work because then we will have something to give. The cycle is only complete when we get to a place of giving. It doesn't stop at work and my own needs that are met. You also have to walk into a life of giving, a life that is turned towards others. As Paul says, to the poor, to the needy, not to exploit them, but to give and share what we've received. It's not easy because instinctively we move towards self-preservation and security. And in our country, in our world at the moment, with the uncertainty of the future, by nature we fear. We stock up. I remember those first few weeks in COVID. Did you also go and stock up on baked beans and milk, long life milk and toilet paper? It's in us. But we have something. There's something in our human nature that functions and operates from a scarcity mentality and fear that we don't have enough. And that we must be careful in what we give away, or that we cannot afford to be generous. But that is an illusion. That is an illusion. Jesus says, you will receive when you give. Give and it will be given to you. Luke 6. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Here's the secret. You will receive when you give, but it's more blessed to give than to receive. We've experienced this when we are generous. We experience the joy, the full measure, the blessing, an experience of contribution that far surpasses what I give. Just think of a time when you send someone a meal who was going through a difficult time, or a bunch of flowers, or a card. What it meant to that person, I bet it exceeded the price you had to pay to give that. That experience cannot be measured. And it's a way of life to with wisdom, discern how to give generously. But we need to give. And if you want to establish a generous life, then we have to come to a point where we start practicing it. We can know a lot about it, but if you don't do it, we're missing the point. So how do I do it? Well, we can start by facing our own greed. And you might think, Melissa, I'm not a greedy person. How can you say that? But when we become so absorbed with our attachments to our security and our belongings, that's a form of greed in my life. And it's hard to find our way with wants and needs, our desires and our needs, because our wants can do a lot of damage to our life. That's the idea of the great sins. It's not that food is wrong or sex is wrong or money is wrong, but when those things become too big, too important in my life, it's destructive in nature. When it comes down to lust, when it comes down to greed, that urgent desire to possess, then it's a sin. And that means it destroys your life. That is what sin is. Sin is anything that destroys life. It's not good for you, and it's not good for people around you. And so to ask God, Lord, shine your light on my heart. Will you discern my heart? Search my heart, O God. Where in my life do I act from a place of getting rather than receiving? Where I'm being held captive, I am attached to things. I want to give. Lord, I want to go into this life that you invite me to. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to taste this joy, this freedom, so create in me a pure and generous heart. We can grow in generosity by starting with those closest to us. Family life is a wonderful place to practice generosity. It's difficult, but it's a place to practice. There you have to forgive someone every day. You have to adjust your desires. You have to put your ego on the shelf and go beyond yourself. You have to give. Pay attention. Give with your attention. Give your time. Give your resources. But invest. Have you invested in those closest to you? We cannot think that I'm going to give to change this world and make a remarkable difference if I cannot even give in my own home. Then we are hypocritical. And in the same way, a congregation, our congregation, the church, can be a kind of school where we develop a generous life. Paul affirms this. He says, God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. How can I give in the community of holy friends, the faith family that I belong to? By giving my time. This family, how can I give my time here? By giving your giftedness. Each one of us have been given incredible gifts. Can we give them to the ministry and the body of Christ? Maybe you can sing. Maybe you can make beautiful gardens. You can listen. You can teach. You can facilitate. You can pray. You can distribute food. How can I give the gifts I have received? Giving your finances. Martin Luther once said, three conversions are necessary. Conversion of the heart, the mind, and the wallet. And of these three, the last conversion is the most difficult. The Old Testament teaches us, give a tithe to your community of faith. However, tithes in the Old Testament involved more than just giving 10%. For Israel, tithing was one part of a very rich, fascinating, concrete, practical way of life designed to cultivate a community of generosity. The New Testament teaches us, give generously. Give generously as you can of what you have. If your finances are a mess right now, take time, be wise, be careful, grow your giving 1% at a time. You know, and God knows, in the situation you find yourself now, what giving generously means and looks like. Where do you find yourself on this journey today? Are you perhaps in a place where you feel something of this ego, the false self, the life that just wants to receive and gain, and you realize this life doesn't work? It's making me tired. I'm at a place where I'm at the end of myself. Maybe you're thinking about faith and what it means to be a Christian. That you've been brought up to think about life this way, in a different way. And it doesn't bring life. It only brings problem. It makes us tired. It's not leading me to blessedness and joy, freedom and love. That is the life of Christ that he invites us to. Invited to a different way of the generous life and become his follower. Or maybe you're invited to become more generous. I want to become more generous, Lord. I just want to open up more trust, more tune in more with you, your spirit, and to a life where it's more blessed to give than to receive. Wherever you are today, God is meeting you. That invitation, that movement that you are experiencing, that is God leading you to the next step in your journey to becoming a generous person. Lord, thank you that you know us intimately, that you know our circumstances, and that you lead us into this life, real life, abundant life, eternal life. And so we ask for your grace, your wisdom, your insight, and your courage, Lord, to go on this journey. Free us from ourselves. Free us from the fear and security that drive us to hold on to what we have. Help us to open our hands and live in a way that is aligned to the way you lived and that you invite us to live. Cultivate in us a generous heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You are invited to 8 days of giving. This is an experiment we as a community of faith embark on this week. And every day for this week, you're invited to give something to someone else. Because we want to grow in a life of generosity and giving freely, magnanimity. And why we want to do it is because Jesus invites us to this way of life. As we heard today in Acts, Jesus' words that Paul gives us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a way of life that we can experience. Blessed means a way of joy and of grace. And we can experience that when we go into this life. Jesus also says in John 7, we can only know when we do. We're invited to practice our life. life with God, with Jesus, is very practical. It involves a lot of doing and exercising, practicing. And this week is that. We want to practice so that we can become more and more this person he invites us and has created us to be, so we can be more and more like Jesus. And so how we want to do it is to invite you to go to your place, your home, look at your belongings, become aware of what you have, because we give from what we have, not from what we don't have. We start with what we have. Look at what you have. And ask yourself, do I really need this? Do I really need this? We have so much things in our life and we hold on to them. But it's not a good way to go through life. That's the mentality of a hoarder, is thinking, I can't let this go because someday I'm going to use this. Someday. So it's there in a cupboard or hidden in a drawer somewhere. But we can't go through life that way. And so to really ask yourself, do I need this? Do I use this? Have I worn this clothes in the last two seasons? Then to touch and feel that thing, pick it up, hold on to it, and ask yourself, what do you feel about this? Because our possessions carry a lot of emotional weight. That picture that your grandmother gave you, those pair of shoes that your sister wore and she gave to you and you haven't seen her for a few years, they have sentimental value to you. But do you really need them? Why is it that we feel lighter when we give away? It's because we let go of that emotional burden, the sentimental burden that a lot of us live with. And it's not helpful, it's keeping us captive. And then to ask yourself, who might need this? Who might need this? Those things in the cupboards that you don't use, they might be of such great value to someone else. You might change their life by giving that. And if there isn't someone specifically that comes to mind when you decide to give that away, then you can bring that to church, send it to Mosaic, and we will then send it to our swap shop, a place where people come and share and work together to receive by giving. So Swap Shop is a project where people clean up the community, the informal settlement, take all the recyclables to the swap shop, and then trade that in for pots, pans, clothing, diapers, anything, decor for their house, a curtain, anything. And the invitation is not to just give one thing. For the next 7 days, to maybe not just give a piece of clothing every day, that's easy, but to offer, let your giving be an offering. So it costs me something. I can feel it when I give it away. But to give, try and give something different every day. And then on the eighth day, next week Sunday, we're going to end off by giving with our finances, by bringing an offering of thankfulness to God. And the invitation is to give in the community of faith where you are rooted, where you find your nourishment and your teaching, your family, your faith family, to give there. And you're invited to go on this journey with us, do this experience, share your stories on social media. You're welcome to use the hashtag 8 Days of Giving. And we look forward to sharing together in our groups, in our families, in our conversations, what God is working into our lives as we go on this journey together. receive the blessing of God. The grace, the love, the peace, and the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.